Good morning.
Good morning, Will. How are you?
I'm doing great. Claire Kendall Jones on our Johnson Ford guest line. She's an author, and I tell you, if I did all the stuff that she has done, we'd be here for a while, but I can tell you about a varied and interesting background. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about it, Mary Claire?
Oh, yeah, just a snippet. Well, I've been on a trajectory to become a writer, so that's why you have me on the show. I had worked in the political arena, actually. So I was a political appointee in the George H.W. Bush administration. And then gradually, I started, you know, I was doing, you know, political writing. I've done a lot of commentary, but then in 2006, I kind of pivoted. I had been doing the screenwriting, and then I watched this, Robert Osborne private screenings interview with Betty Hutton, which I had seen before when I was doing political reporting. Didn't have amazing story. And then gradually I started writing about the stars, and my mom, God rest her soul, recommended, you know, you should write a book of profiles. So one thing led to another, and so that's why I'm here today, to talk about Oasis, Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends.
Well, it's interesting because some of them are really legends, and they started out in the church, active in the church early, got maybe away from that, and then come back to it, right?
That's right. That's right. Some of them, like Gary Cooper, wasn't really that religious. He was raised Episcopalian. He really was had a spiritual side, you know, via like his friendship with the Indians, and who were the American Indians out there in Montana where he grew up. But then got to Hollywood. He was really just so gorgeously handsome. My friend A.C. Lyles, who I became friends with when I was writing the Betty Hutton articles before the book, he's a Paramount legend. His best friend was Ronald Reagan, and he was the first one who said to Ronnie, you know, I think you're going to be president one day, but you better run for governor first. But anyway, on his wall, in his office there, it was Fred Astaire's old office, were all these pictures with all the stars, AC, every star under the sun, because he had been there since 36, starting out as an office boy for, you know, Adolf Zukor, who was the guy who started film. Anywho, got to Gary Cooper, just so gorgeously handsome. So, but the problem is that, you know, he became a female magnet, and that was his vulnerability. And finally, with the affair with Patricia Neal, that one, usually they're just, you know, they're part of the filming process. That's just the way it goes. But with Patricia Neal at the socket, the affair started after the filming, and that busted up the family. And then he realized, you know, he was getting ulcers, and he realized, you know, I really need to give back. In his words, I didn't want to be quite such a bum. So he started getting more spiritual. Was introduced to his wife, introduced him to this priest. Thought they would talk about spiritual things, but they were, you know, hunting and scuba diving together. But then also it drifted to religion, and then he did. It was a beautiful, beautiful story. And at the end, you know, when he got so sick, he realized he was in such writhing pain the last week of his life, and he said, I recognize this is God's will.
How about that? Alfred Hitchcock, I thought that was interesting. By the way, I had a chance to be a bit player in North by Northwest, so.
No kidding.
Just by chance, at Mount Rushmore, we were there, I just finished the baseball season. And it was three of us on our way home from playing baseball season in Montana. And they asked for extras for $50. I'll do anything. You know what I'm talking about? So we were
at. What scene?
In the scene in the, lobby of, at Mount Rushmore there.
Oh, right. When he gets killed, when somebody is killed, or he gets killed.
Yes, correct. Cary Grant gets killed. And, you know, for the interesting thing, if you look at that film real closely, there was a little boy that was in there, and he had already put his fingers over his ears because he knew what was coming before they got shot with fire. In fact,
the one flaw, you know, They were drawn out.
We had to do three takes.
Everything, you know, you can't worry about it. That's cute.
We had to do three takes, and the kid did it every time. So, I thought that was it. Anyway, Alfred Hitchcock, tell us a story about Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, just as an interlude, just to interject, so Mother Dolores Hart, who wrote the foreword to my book, beautiful foreword, but she got her first TV job with Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock was, of course, the master of suspense. The only thing he could do in life is make films. He came from a very religious family. He was very, you know, every evening his mother, you know, he did his confession, you know, the examination of conscience. I mean, he was very, very good kid. But then he got into, you know, his wife actually, so he was Catholic and his wife became Catholic, but she it didn't really stick. So they sort of drifted. But he was always giving back to the, you know, financially, made sure his grandchildren, you know, got to church. And in fact, that's kind of an interesting story in the book where sometimes he would have to drive if the chauffeur wasn't there. And that was like a scene out of an Alfred Hitchcock film, pretty harrowing. But toward the end of his life, so he came full circle. He couldn't make any films anymore, and his confronting his mortality. And so he reached out to this priest who was known as the Priest of the Stars, Father Tom Sullivan. He met in the parodying case, you know, and just gradually they began visiting him. The priest who would join him, a younger priest, Father Mark Tenninger, I interviewed. He's the brother of the columnist, the Wall Street Journal columnist. Very poignant, you know, he'd received communion, tears streaming down his cheeks. He famously said to Ingrid Bergman, you know, who has her own beautiful story of coming full circle, Ingrid, you know, I'm going to die. And she had cancer, and she said to him, yes, you know, we're all going to die, of course, but beautiful.
Yeah. Mary Claire Kendall, our special guest, the book Oasis, that's just like it's a tremendous read. The book available almost anywhere you can buy books?
Yeah, really. You can online, Amazon, of course. You can go to your Barnes & Noble. If it's not there, they'll get it in a couple of days. You don't have to pay the shipping costs. Amazon, it's Audible, Kindle. My website, MaryClaireCinema.com, has all the different links because Books A Million, you know, whatever, Walmart, Barnes & Noble online as well.
And we have it up at Radio Bookshelf, too, so I want to make sure our local listeners know that, too, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Now, I got to ask you about John Duke Wayne.
John Duke Wayne. You know, I love his story. He was really, he came from, you know, kind of a difficult upbringing. His parents, there's a lot of stress in their relationship, so a lot of tension in the family. The parents finally split up, but he found solace early on, you know, going, skipping into town and going, seeing those silent films, and he was really taken. But no, he was more athletic. He was, got a sports scholarship to USC, and he wanted to become a lawyer, but then hurt his shoulder, lost his scholarship, and then his coach, who was kind of like a father figure to him, got him a job at Fox doing, you know, stagehand work, which he had done as a child when the crews would come out there to Glendale. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one day he's walking across the stage and Raoul Ross saw this, you know, really handsome dude and said, hey, thought this guy is going to be the star from my film, The Big Trail. It was a big, the first filmed on the outdoors. It was the grandeur film process. It was filmed in 1929, was released right in the jaws of the Great Depression, the crash. So the film theaters that had to get the special camera to view it, of course, they didn't have the money. It bombed. So meanwhile, he had met Josie Tsang, who became his wife, but she came from a very upper crust family, Catholic. Gradually, he took Will Rogers' advice, just work. Don't worry, you know, if it's not The Big Trail or the big Paramount film. He did that and gradually worked his way up. John Ford, they got married. Josie saw his success. They got married, even though the father didn't really approve. And then finally got the John Ford breakout role in Stagecoach. But then he, you know, what happens is you become a big star. The women, you're the female magnet. He had the typical affairs with Marlene, you know, his co-star Marlene Dietrich on several films, and Josie. really, she came, as I say, from Upcrest. That was not her idea of what, you know, that was very insulting for her, and she couldn't, you know, beyond that, just that it busted, interfered with the marriage, obviously. So the marriage got busted up, and then he gradually, you know, he went along, got married, but then again, and then a third marriage. Then he got the lung cancer, and he became very spiritual. A.J. Fennedy would say he'd be on his knees there in Durango, Mexico, when they're filming, you know, Mass. And he was very saintly. He was a very, and I put little snippets of that, because he was very good to people. And if you boiled him down, he was just a hard worker. And towards the end of his life, somebody did introduce him to this saint of ordinary work, Saint Jose Maria. And I think I'm told that made an impression. But then in the last, just at the end of his life, you know, he had never become a Catholic because of his checkered marital history. At the last 24 hours, he, you know, received all the sacraments. Josie had called him, like, within 24 hours. Who knows what they talked about? I don't know why, but he was in a coma. Oh, his son came and said the priest, he came out of the coma. It was kind of miraculous.
Yeah.
And he stormed heaven like he stormed, you know, in all his films. So, and typical Wayne fashion.
About that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mary Claire Kendall, our special guest on our Johnson Court guest line, Lana Turner. Boy, she was always one of my favorites.
Oh, Lana, yes. Gorgeous. She was so professional, but she didn't have the best choice in husbands, as so many of these gorgeous female stars. Yeah, as is the case. It just so gradually. She had actually, as a child, again, her family had busted up. Her father died in San Francisco. So there's some really mystic things there. Things that she would, you know, she would see these visions. But and it's in the book. But she drank the Kool-Aid. She and some of the men that came in her life were just, you know, really. They kind of break them down, and so, but very professional. But husband number 7 and 8, absolutely abominable. And she really kind of was hitting rock bottom. Not like Betty Hutton, but she made a pact with God. She wanted to get her health right, which she did. And then she said, okay, if I do this, I'm gonna make you my power partner. And she finally found love, you know, in the right place. She had been looking in all the wrong places, and it's a very poignant story. She wrote a autobiography, and I use a lot of the star's own words. I interview relatives as well, but she gave this interview, and then interviews with Robin Leach, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. She beautiful interview, calling, you know, she was so sick, she got cancer towards the end, but God was her power partner. She really came out of it and was really through power of prayer and will, and she was like, whatever role God wants for me, if he wants me to have a role in heaven, fine. And that's helpful to me. Let me tell you, I was writing this chapter when my mom got sick and just died so suddenly. And so mom has a role in heaven. She told me she'd be helping me from heaven. So that's what Lana's doing, too. It's a beautiful story.
Absolutely. Oasis is the title of the book. Mary Claire Temple is the author. We just really have enjoyed this. We got a couple more minutes. I don't know where we might go, except maybe Jane Wyman, who was married one time to Ronald Reagan.
Oh, this is a great one to end on. You know, she was married to Ronald Reagan, and she told her friend Ann Sheridan, and she let out the fact that he would give speeches in his sleep.
Yeah, probably.
So he was definitely on a political track, you know. Jane Wyman, she, you know, her story is not quite so dramatic, but it probably is because she never purposely, she never wrote an autobiography, but she lost her, Ronald Reagan, her child, Christina. And I think Michael Reagan said that she really never got over that. And after that, she would go to join Loretta Young, at church, and she really found spiritual solace in the Catholic faith again. And beautiful story. So the priest said she was the antithesis of Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, where she didn't need a comeback. I mean, she did her thing. She had her Oscars in the den, not because she wasn't proud, but she wasn't stuffed with herself, is what the priest said. She just, you know, she was quite a gal, a real lady, really knew how to tough it out in Hollywood, but that spiritual side of her, I think was a big part of it, because early on she was kind of a mess. She could have ended up in a much different
place. Well, at least it seemed like a lot of them righted the ship at the right time. Right?
Yes, that's right. It was beautiful. They don't always do that in Hollywood now. One thing that's very relevant is how Mary Astor, too, and Betty Hutton overcame addictions,
mm-hmm.
alcohol and prescription pills, in the case of, you know, respectively. So there's a lot of lessons that I think the young ones can learn.
And so in Mary Astor's case, it was her second husband that kind of led her to the church, right?
Yeah, she had that because she had been abused as a child, so she had that inside, that psychological need to escape. You know, so that was just toxic for her, because then she did become quite an alcoholic, but overcame it.
How about that? Wow.
She said anything that can be understood can be overcome.
That's right. Mary Claire, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Lou.
And come back and be with us again, will you?
I look forward to it.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be back.